And I honor Vic for being sensitive enough to the voice of the Holy Spirit to preach a sermon. Go and listen to it again. And I say, let's just repeat it together. Lord, this pruning you're doing, start with me.
What are the four P's? Position, that's where you're planted. Pruning. Third one, pollination, and then propagation. Four things. That was powerful last week. Anyway, I've been pruning, and I have a fig right here that I dug up yesterday, and I thought it just illustrates so much what he shared with us. First of all, this was a propagation, or this is a propagation. It was growing off of the mother branch, but it was up against my shop, up against the building. So it was out of the sun. It was getting close to the foundation of my building. And so I cut it off, and I have some roots underneath. That's going to allow it to keep growing. But there's too much here for this to grow on the amount of roots that I have, so I need to prune it. Well, we want this to grow into a healthy, strong vine. So there's two of them, but I don't have enough roots for two, so I'm going to prune. This one's gone. This one won't grow anymore. I can stick it in the ground, but yep. It won't grow. It won't grow anymore. This has still got too much on it to support the root system that I've got, so I'm going to prune it some more. This one. Not much left, but there is plenty here. And in fact, if you look at this, this has got some little figs on it. I will come up and look at it afterwards. There's a couple of little figs up here on the end. This is where it's growing, and there's another little fig coming out here. But this still is not going to grow well until it's planted in the right position, in the right place. So I have somebody in this audience this morning that's going to take this and try to put it in the right place where it can thrive and grow and produce, because that's what the goal is. We want fruit. And so by giving the main branch the strength that it needs to grow in its position, these will get pollinated. We have fruit. I gave several photos to, let's see if we can get them. This is my grapevine. Now, plants are different. You don't prune them all the same. This is a grapevine. It's a muscadine. It's native to the southern United States. It just wants to grow wild. And every year I have to prune and cut off a lot of those branches. And you can see that pile there. Those branches are not going to produce any fruit. But it's going to enable the rest of the vine to produce. Next. That's what we want. And you can see that there's even when they turn purple, they're beautiful. And so the goal is fruit. But in order to get fruit, there has to be pruning done. Next. There was some fruit. 16 pounds. Next one. Nothing like. And the next one. And that's what we want. We want fruit. So, but it does require a lot of work, pruning. There has to be pruning done to get fruit. So I thought the four P's were just right on, spot on, in reminding us that God wants fruit.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. You know, that's what God wants for us. The Lord doesn't want us to just hear sermons. This is a time for growth. This is time for growth, because if we don't grow, we die. You either grow or you don't grow. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as we take this next couple of minutes to teach and open the Bible. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would, teach us. You do it so well. I pray that you would use the words in my mouth to teach these your sons and your daughters. In Jesus' name. And God's people said. All right, so I'm going to start with, once again, I listened to, you know, one thing I really love about the follow-up with Vic's sermon. Three or four times he quoted us in the past couple of weeks because he's been here and he had the opportunity to teach, and therefore Holy Spirit kind of led him in the same direction. But there's this question he asked, and I'm going to piggyback back from that. The question goes like this. What would God find when he looks at you to satisfy the spiritual hunger for your generation? What would God find when he looks at you to satisfy the spiritual hunger? Let's bring it home. To your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your next door neighbor, all right? Because those are the people that are really close to us. What type of fruit the Lord will find if you would go to your tree? What would he find? If you would go to you, would he find kindness? Would he find gentleness? Would he find self-control? Or would he find bitterness, unforgiveness? Now we put that on our street sign. It says, I was thinking about it. Free yourself. Forgive someone. Would the Lord find patience? Love is patient. Love is kind. What kind of fruit would God find if he would find in you? If you would go and trying to pick up a fruit. What would he find? Would he find the worries of life? The trouble of life? What would it be? And I'd say, you should take this question to your closet, your prayer closet this week. And you say, God, prune me. Because, you know, prune, you know what pruning is. I really love John chapter 15, verse 2 in the King James Version. I read a lot of version. I read, depending on what it says, I go to the next to see, and I go to my concordance to see what exactly the original word is. Listen to what it says from the King James. I usually don't read the King James because the doubt and the heth are a little hard for me. But I'll try this one. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. But my emphasis right now is on the word beareth. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. In our everyday language, it says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, God, our gardener, Jerry, give us a great example. What does he do? He cuts it. And then you saw that pile on his picture. And that pile eventually is going to create a nice little warm fire for him. And in the context of the kingdom of God, fire is hell. You know, the whole message about repentance, hell is real. People don't want to hear that message. If we don't repent, as a matter of fact, from Luke chapter 13, there's this verse in, actually, before I go to Luke 13, let me go back to John 15 from the TPT, the Passion Translation. This is what it says. Jesus says, I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruit branch to yield a great harvest. And this verse right there, I can tie it to the song we sing. When I fall down, what does he do? Because part of pruning, right, Jerry? Part of pruning is to establish support, right? Like if a branch is producing fruit, you as the gardener, you don't go and cut it, especially if you see the branch is laying, kind of wants to be on the ground, right? You don't want that. You don't want the branch that's producing fruit to lay on the ground. What do? You want to create a support. And I talked about that a couple weeks ago, the trellis. And the question was, what is your support system? You know, is God doesn't want you to live by yourself. Is your church, is your family your support system? What is it? But I like this. It says, verse 3, the words that I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me. Remain in life union with me. For remain in life union with, I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I just like this. It's just a different way to bring the NIV alive. Unless a branch, a vine, will not produce fruit, unless you live your life intimately joined. And you remember what intimacy means. It's in deep in me, God sees. So God knows you. Intimacy is God knows. The Lord knows you better than anybody, even sometimes better than yourself. And I love the fact that the Passion Translation bring this word here. It says, I'm going to read it again. It says, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. You see the contrast, the condition there? It's like, you do that first. You remain in me and I will remain in you. Because what happened? A branch is cut from the vine, will not bear fruit. So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately. And now you understand, there's even in relationship, for those of you who are married, or even not married, you know, like my son, I'd say my son, my relationship with my son at home. If we don't work to be intimate, if I'm not intentional to be intimate with Ryan, to go deep to know him, intimacy is knowing the person, know what they're going through. If he's not opening up, I'm not opening up, there's no intimacy. We become roommates. It's like, I see Ryan, hey Ryan, hey Dad. If you ask me, so what is Ryan up to nowadays? I'm like, oh, I don't know, why don't you ask him? Well, we live in the same house. I should know. Yeah, I should know. Ryan should know what I'm up to. Why? Because we are in our home. We are very intentional about communicating when we sit around to eat together. We do like, we are very intentional to create a deep intimacy in the home. That's what it's talking about here. It's not enough to just know about God. How is your intimacy with him? How is it? And my goal, my prayer this morning is that you would grow in your intimacy. Verse 5, I am the sprouting vine and you are the branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separate from me, you are powerless. Amen. I don't want to be powerless in my walk with the Lord. I want to be powerful. I want to have a testimony. I don't want to be shy about Jesus. I want everybody to know, man, I love Jesus. But it's not enough when I say love Jesus. Loving Jesus is living a life in reverent fear of Jesus. You know, you remember the story of Abraham when God asked Abraham for Isaac? Genesis chapter 22. At the end of the chapter, God says, Abraham, do not kill your son, for I know now you fear God. Love, true love for God is fearing God. And the fear of God is to love what God loves, is to hate, despise what God despises. You know? So, verse 6, it says, if a person is separate from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into a fire to be burned. Verse 7, but if you live in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask, wow. Listen to this. Then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. But you know what I see in this verse? What happens when you live wholeheartedly in totally obedience for the word of God? Even your requests would be totally in line with God's word. I mean, it's like you ask that the kingdom come. You ask that God move in your life. You know, it's like your prayers are not earthly minded. Your prayers, your talk with God is all kingdom minded. It's like everything I do, everything I want, I mean, this is my desire. I want everything that I do, I think of, I want it to be all about the kingdom. Then you can ask anything you want, you desire, it will be done. Verse 8, when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples. So you're saying you know God, you know God for 30 years and you're still a baby? Just think about that. Spiritually, when you're born spiritually, God's plan for you is to grow spiritually. And we know what in our life, in the human life, there are different stages. You've got the baby stage, the toddler stage, then the teenager stage, and you have the adults, young adult. You've got young adults, and then you've got the adult stage. And then the adults, and you know, sometimes someone could be a 30-year-old, 35-year-old, and they're still a teenager. Spiritually, God doesn't want you to remain a toddler. You know why? Because he wants you to become mature. And I believe that's one of the reasons God's like, you know what? This church, I want to prune it. I say, come on, Lord, you start with me. You prune me. I want more fruit. I want Ricardo to be so dead that you can't offend me. It's like, I'm dead. Can you offend a dead person? Actually, they don't care whether you bury them or cremate them or not. It's up to you. What do you want to do with a dead person? You decide. He's dead. She's dead. That's where I want to be. I want to be so dead in the Lord that when you look, it's the desire. Paul said it. He says, it's not me that lives anymore. Who lives? Christ. You know, read this verse again, verse 8. It says, when your lives bear abundant fruit, and you know, this word, abundant, means you have enough for you and enough to share. Guys, this is what God wants for our lives, for your lives. God wants you to be so joyful, so peaceful, that when you walk into a chaotic situation, you know what you bring? Peace. You become an agent of peace. God wants you to be so at peace that in your family situation, what do you carry? You carry this peace, this presence. In this world, at Walmart, at Target, wherever you find yourself, people, listen, on the road with all these crazy drivers. Sometimes you're like, why are they so mad? You know what I say? I said, God, I pray for this person. Maybe they're going. I tell you, this is an encouragement I'm giving you. I'm doing it for myself. I take driving out there as an opportunity to intercede. First of all, everybody's in a hurry. We get caught up into it sometimes, you know, but everybody's in a hurry. But everybody's so nasty. And then before you know it, you get into the game. So when I get in my car, I see it as an opportunity to pray. What caused somebody to just slow down for 3 seconds and let somebody in? And to fight for it, and then 10 seconds later, we both stop at the red light. That's why I tell you, make sure you don't put Christian bumper sticker on your cars. You know? Because sometimes we forgot we have that sticker back there. And we're just cutting people off. And I'm reading it again. When your lives bear abundant fruit. That's the key. God wants me to be so fruitful. Am I human? Yes. Until I see Jesus face to face, I'm going to face the situation of this life. But because I choose, I realize it's not enough to just know God on the surface. I want to be intimate. I want to know God intimately. And how do I do that? I surrender to Him and I allow Him to prune me. I position myself. I make sure I am positioned. Do you know the distraction the enemy brings even in preacher's life? What God's doing in my own life this in the past eight months is making the vision so clear for me. What I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to be, and then I'm not fighting. Or even what I'm supposed to do here. Like, I'm not caring. I come here. I come here and I see this thing needs to be done. This thing needs to be done. And then I get so frustrated. Not anymore. God uses Pauline, actually, to bring my attention to why I'm here. Pauline probably don't remember. But it doesn't matter. And I had a situation with one of our churches in Haiti. There was this big kind of fight between leaders and stuff. And I actually used the same thing the Lord gave me. And I said, God, guys, this is what God did in my own life. When it comes to us, God, for me, God called me to be in the prayer, be in the word, Acts chapter 6. Yeah, I can mow the lawn because this is my church. But guess what? If I come here Saturday night, the lawn's not mowed, I'm not going to have a cow. Man, who was supposed to mow the lawn? And then I have back pain. If I come here, the internet's not working, praise God, let's all turn those cameras off. If I come here, the screen's not working, guess what? We're going to sing, then sings my soul, my Savior God. I'm going to go back to songs maybe all of you knows. Why am I going to get frustrated? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And the same thing at home. I mean, God, we went to this, Kendra and I went to this married conference last month in February. We came out better. Our communication is just so good because there are things we weren't able to communicate. Because it's like, you know, Kendra and I, we both type A and we're very passionate and we fight passionately too, you know? You know? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we renew our covenant with each other. After 25 years, we renew our covenant and like, I'm so aware of how I communicate. Because for the rest of my life, I don't want to live a isolation relationship with my wife. I don't want to be roommates. I want that connection. I want to contribute toward everything we do. I want to do it towards oneness. Let's go back to the verse again. Then when your life bear abundant fruit. Now remember this word. Having an abundant life, Jesus came to give us abundant life, is having enough life for yourself, but also enough to share. Christ died on the cross so we can live in victory. I tell you, if you, Angie just shared this verse, the righteous falls what? Seven times? Or what happened? Any righteous I have here in this place? Hallelujah! You know? I can stand on the fact that the righteous men may fall seven times, but you won't remain on the floor. You know, sometimes the enemy wants us to think, well, there's no hope. There is hope. You tell him. There is hope in the Lord. You demonstrate that you are my mature disciples when you glorify my Father. You know, the word pruning, or what we call in the King James, purged, means to rid of whatever is impure. Allow God to get rid of whatever is impure in your life. Let God purify your life. If the Holy Spirit brings something to your attention, you repent. You know, I told you my recent story with my dad. Guys, literally, now when I talk to my dad, I even feel compassion for him. I didn't have that before. Last year, I felt like I was just loving my dad because that's what the Word does. The Word told me. But I didn't have compassion for him. That's why when he was going through a tough time, I'm like, yes. I can't do it to you, but yes. Until the Holy Spirit is like, come on, Ricardo, that's so bad. That's so bad. You can't rejoice in your enemies. What's the word I need? When they're going through bad stuff. You can't rejoice. That's not love. Love does not rejoice in injustice. I repent. And I say, God, give me a new heart. He did. Now, when I talk to my dad, I feel compassion for him. I actually need to go see him sometime soon. You know, to prune is to clear or to empty something, put to death. Now let's go to Luke chapter 13. Let's see this story. And then I'll ask the worship team to come up. But let's read this, Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. One Sabbath, actually, then Jesus told this story. First of all, go back with me to verse 1 to see what happened. There's a verse I want to pull in here. Verse 1, about this time Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galilean was worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sin and turn to God. You should underline that in your Bibles. And what about the 18th people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they worse sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again, unless you repent, you will perish too. You know, I know the message of repentance is not something that is preached in the church. I live a life of repentance. Oh yeah, you know what repentance is? I'm going to talk about that the coming weeks. Repentance is a change of mind. Follows by a change of action. Can I have a better witness? Amen. You see, you tie repentance with 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, that person become what? A new creation. And what happens with a new creation? Until we see Jesus face to face, we must become a new creation on a daily basis. Yeah, because of sin that fills around, you know, the world is full of sin. But here Jesus is telling his audience, unless you repent, you will perish too. So then verse 6, where I want to go, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again. this week I read it, but this week again I saw it twice. I'm like, he said, the man came again and again. What does that mean? Multiple times. What did he see? He came to see if there was any fruit on the tree. But he always was disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I have waited 3 years. And do you remember how many years Jesus was on earth preaching repentance? 3 years. How many years John the Baptist was on earth to preach the gospel? 3 years. He waited 3 years, finally, and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It just take up space in the garden. Then the gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Everybody say one more chance. Look at your neighbor, say one more chance. Yep, look at your neighbor. Jed, come on, one more chance. One more chance. You know, let's say it together, thank you, Jesus. You know, God is still the God of yesterday, today, and forever. God, if it wasn't for Jesus, we would not have one more chance. If it wasn't for God, for Jesus, God, I mean, you remember, God sent 12, you know, there's 12 guys he sent to scout the land. In the Old Testament, if you don't remember, go read that story in the Old Testament. Can't remember exactly where it was. But then 10 of them came back telling the people, you know what? Yeah, God's promises this promised land. Yeah, of course, there is tons of riches and, you know, milk with, you know, honey and everything we can eat. But man, those giants, those guys, they look like they're 16 foot tall. They're so big. I mean, those guys, they're... God said, man, I give you my word, but you blaspheming my name because you don't believe. You know what he did? Open the earth. Kill not only those guys, but he kills their wives, their children, except for Caleb and Joshua. Sometimes, I said it here before, everybody think, you know, God is still this cool dad. Yes, he is cool. But man, God doesn't change. He's a reverent God. That's why we must fear God. We must have reverence for Him. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Because even today when God look at you and I, you know who He sees? Jesus. He sees us through the eyes of Christ. Through the cross. Give it. Just take it down. And then the gardener answers, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I will give it what? Special attention. And plenty of fertilizer. If we get fig next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. If we get fruit next year, fine. And my charge for us, I invite the worship team to come up. Let's not waste that one more chance. Let's not waste that one more chance. Anybody here? Yes. Let's not waste that one more chance. That's why if you're here this morning, you hear the voice of the Lord knocking. If you hear the voice of the Lord knocking, I'd say come to the altar. If any of you guys needs, you feel like you need prayer, I'd say, come to the altar. We're gonna sing, You Are Good, for the Lord is good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, we trust you, King of my heart. And I say, just give an answer to the Lord's word this morning. Thank you, Lord.